Going to the Jew First. This is the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. And today we'd like to have a special presentation to share with you with Dr. Reynolds Showers, who serves with Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. Dr. Showers recently spoke at IBJM's annual prophecy conference on the book of Daniel. Now, without further ado, here is Dr. Showers.
I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but among Bible-believing Christians, there are two different systems of theology or doctrine. One is dispensationalism, and the other one is covenant theology. And we agree on a lot of things. We agree on who Jesus is, what he did for us on the cross and everything else, but we part company when it comes to future events from the Word of God. And also we part company on God's plan and purpose for the nation of Israel. And it's important for you to realize these things. And one of our books over here that's available is entitled There Really Is a Difference. And we explain the differences between these two systems of theology or doctrine. We explain how they got started historically. And then we give a biblical as well as historical defense for the dispensational premillennial understanding of the Word of God. Closely related to that, those who hold to covenant theology say that because Israel rejected Jesus as their Messiah in his first coming, that God has forever rejected Israel as his people. He has no present or future plan for the nation of Israel whatsoever, and that he's replaced Israel with the church. And so the church is now God's Israel. And it's called replacement theology. The church has replaced the nation of Israel as the people of God. And that view started within 100 years after the apostles were off the world scene by some Gentile church leaders who were strongly anti-Semitic. And they began that view. And whether you recognize it or not, you trace the history of that. That was one of the major things that contributed to the whole Roman Catholic system developing within organized Christendom. And they ended up, the Catholic Church, saying, we are the kingdom of God here upon planet Earth, and not with the nation of Israel. And because of that, there were literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Jews massacred as Christ killers all across Europe during the Middle Ages. And even one of the reformers, sad to say, the one in Germany who started the Reformation, Luther. At first he told his people, be kind to the Jewish people, go out of your way to help them and serve them because that's how we're going to win them to Christ, and it didn't happen that way. As a result, he became so bitter, he put into writing some of the most hateful vitriolic language against the Jews and say, destroy their synagogues, burn their houses. Abuse them as severely as you can. They're the scum of mankind, and the sooner they're taken away from planet Earth, the better off mankind will be. The Nazis, leading up to World War II, quoted Luther's writings and statements to the people of Germany to tell them why we have to eliminate the Jews from planet Earth. And so we deal with this. We deal with the history of that whole false teaching, that God has replaced Israel with the church. And we also point out, again, the tragic consequences of that. But in the last four chapters of this book, we tell you what God's plan and purpose is for the people of Israel. Why did he raise up the nation of Israel? And what does he anticipate will be his future dealings with the nation of Israel? So these are dealing with things that are very practical today within our churches. Now, yesterday in our last session, we began looking at this very significant prophecy in Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9. And we call it the 70 weeks prophecy, okay, because we saw there that the angel Gabriel came to Daniel by direction of God to reveal to him God's prolonged future program for the nation of Israel into the future. And the new revelation of that is contained in chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And we began yesterday noting there seven significant things that we have to note about this prophecy if we're going to understand what's being told here. And the first one we noted, verse 24, is that there are 70 periods of time, but each one of those periods of time consists of 7 years, of 7 years. And we also noted there that this is exclusively God's program for Israel and their city of Jerusalem. Gabriel said that to Daniel and everything. 70 periods of time, each one consists 7 years, have been determined for your people, Daniel, and for your holy city. This is exclusively God's program. Prolonged program of the future for the nation of Israel has nothing to do with the church at all. And keep that in mind. The second major thing we saw about it is the amount of time covered by this prophecy, as we've already indicated, 490 years. 70 periods of time, each one consists of 7 years. So 70 times 7 is 490 years. Then the third major thing to note about it was that all 490 years would be necessary to accomplish six things with the people of Israel and Jerusalem. All 490 years would be involved in accomplishing six significant things with the people of Israel and their city of Jerusalem. And we looked at those six, and that's where we left off yesterday morning. We come now to the fourth major thing, very important one for us to see about this prophecy, and that is the starting point of the 490 years. When historically did God begin ticking off the 490 years of this unique program for Israel? And it's interesting that we're going to see it had to do with Israel rebuilding after the Babylonian captivity. We noted the Medo-Persians conquered Babylon in 539 B.C. Very next year, King Cyrus of Medo-Persia, 538 B.C., issued the decree ending the Babylonian captivity of the Jews, tell them to go back home and rebuild, and all the rest. And God here is indicating that the starting point of the 490 years of this program would be the issuing of a decree, the issuing of a decree by some ruler to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. But now there were many different aspects of restoring and rebuilding Jerusalem. And the interesting thing is there were three different Medo-Persian decrees for the Jews to rebuild certain parts of the city of Jerusalem when they returned home from their Babylonian captivity. And the problem is, which one of the decree of those three Medo-Persian decrees is the one that is being dealt with here in Daniel chapter 9? And there's a clue to it. Because we're told here, in fact, if you have your Bibles open, we're told here in verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 periods of 7 and 62 periods of 7. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times, even in troublous times. Now, the Hebrew language in this indicates that whatever decree would give the people of Israel the right and command to build a defense wall around their new city that they're rebuilding. And of the three Medo-Persian decrees, there's only one of them that gave them permission and encouraged them to build a defense wall around their city. And thankfully, the Old Testament in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, tell us who the Medo-Persian king was. It was Artaxerxes. And it tells us the month and the year of that decree being issued. And that was the decree by Artaxerxes, and according to Nehemiah 2, verses 1 through 8, that was issued in March of 445 B.C. March of 445 B.C. by King Artaxerxes. So that tells us the starting point of the 490-year unique program God had designed for the people of Israel. Now, so that's the starting point. The fifth major thing we have to see about this is the time when Messiah would be present in the nation of Israel. And the implication is, we'll see later on, officially presenting himself to the nation as their promised Messiah. So the fifth thing about this is the time when Messiah would be present in the nation of Israel, here in his first coming, and officially present himself to the nation of Israel as its future prince, its future ruler, etc. Let me ask you a question. According to Zechariah 9:9, how were the people of Israel to know when their king was coming to them? How were they to know the way he would officially present himself to the nation of Israel? Zechariah 9:9. He'll come riding into Jerusalem on the back of the foal of a donkey. So this was indicating that after a certain amount of time, Messiah would be present in Israel. And the way they would know it is that he would officially present himself to the nation by riding on the back of the foal of a donkey through the gate of the wall around Jerusalem, right in up to the temple area and everything. His way of officially presenting himself to the nation of Israel as its Messiah, its coming prince, its future prince. Now, this started, the starting point of the 490 years was with Artaxerxes' decree. But then it indicated that it would be at the end of the first 483 years. It would be at the end of the first 483 years that Messiah would be present in Israel, officially present himself to the nation as the Messiah. So beginning with March of 445 B.C., with Artaxerxes' decree to build the defense wall around Jerusalem, you count off the first 483 years, which would say this is when Messiah will be here, present himself as the Messiah to the nation. Now, the question is, what was the date of Messiah doing that? And you might think, well, oh, that's very easy. All you do is you take a March of 445 B.C. and you count off 483 years and you'll know exactly when this would be. But there's a problem from our perspective today, because Israel and other ancient nations back in Bible times followed a different calendar system from what we follow today. They all followed a lunar calendar system, depending on the phases of the moon. And you know, the phase of the moon is always 30 days. 30 days, 30 days, 30 days, 30 days, 30 days. And they realized, you know, that after so many years, their schedule would be out of sync with the solar system here in the universe. So what they would do after so many years, they'd kick in an extra month and call it non-year. But we, from our understanding, have to look at it from a solar calendar system according to our way of reckoning and nations later on, everything, as to when it would be that he made that entrance according to our understanding.
You've been listening to a special presentation of Dr. Reynold Showers on the Book of Daniel here on the Everlasting Nation broadcast. We invite you to come tomorrow as we resume our study on the Book of Daniel with Dr. Showers. For more information, you can contact us here at IBJM at 423-876-8150, or you can go online to ibjm.org for more information. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.